This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning. I'm John Hoffman. Community Update this week will consist of a recap of a number of key stories from the past week. A petition to protect farmland in New Carlisle from being turned into an industrial park now has more than 1,000 signatures. The petition, started by the Open Space and Agricultural Alliance, pits some New Carlisle residents against potential developers. They cite environmental factors like truck traffic, noise, and water contamination among their concerns. Here's more from WSBT 22's Brooke O'Daniel.
The area in dispute is 7,000 acres of land between State Road 2 and US 20. The goal, to turn this land into the sixth largest industrial park in the United States. Construction could begin as soon as this summer, and that doesn't make some farmers very happy that live in the area.
All this stuff is being crammed down our throats.
This farmland could soon be turned into industry.
Well, industry moves in, the farmers have to move out. They can't farm the same ground that the factories are on.
There is already some development in this area, but some people are against the county planning to build anymore, citing environmental concerns.
Truck traffic, for one, the noise, the light pollution, the amount of water that they are dumping into the Nespajani ditch.
Over 1,000 people have signed a petition by the Open Space and Agricultural Alliance against the development plans. While farmers say this is prime farmland, the county says it's perfect for something else.
This is one of the premier areas, not only in the state, but in the Midwest. I only control a very small amount of land. It's the farmers that control the land. If the farmers have an interest in participating and selling the land, it's a private-to-private transaction.
And that they are listening to the concerns, but also believe this project will bring in a lot of money for the community.
If they move at the speed that we believe that they're going to move, we could probably have some of that money coming back into the schools and other taxing sources within the next 10 to 15 years.
But for some, they feel this development will uproot the New Carlisle way of life.
Open space, they call it vacant land, undevelopment land. It isn't vacant. I live there.
The county currently has several prospects and hopes that some businesses will be breaking ground as soon as this summer. But the over 1,000 people that have signed the petition plan to fight this project every step of the way.
Local residents Bob Humbarger, Deborah Dural, and St. Joseph County Director of Economic Development Bill Shalley all spoke to WSBT 22. In other economic development news, Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb was in South Bend this past week to promote economic development. The governor and Greater St. Joe County Chamber President Jeff Ray talked with WSBT 22's DJ Manu about how to get there.
He says times and jobs have changed. Now it's about creating an environment that will draw people into Indiana. Honoring the best in Indiana business, Governor Eric Holcomb says Northern Indiana has been a major cog in it all.
Without that engine of growth here in South Bend, Elkhart, Marshall County, without that regional perspective, it makes it that much harder to solve problems.
For a long time, that wasn't our story here. I think people thought that the progress was happening somewhere else, not here.
Jeff Ray says Holcomb's message of working together as a state is key. But Governor Holcomb says times are changing.
All those routine jobs that really helped build this state are changing, and so we must change with it.
He says companies need to be more innovative and make sure the workforce has the training they need.
Only 62% of the people eligible to participate in the workforce do. And so we know there are people that aren't participating that can. And so as companies are telling us that they just don't have enough workers, we know they're out there. We've got to give them the skills they need to put them back to work.
Holcomb says it's about making Indiana the attractive state.
To make sure that we're positioning ourselves so that teachers around us in neighboring states aren't attracting more of our own talent.
To him, that all starts with a strong education system and paying teachers what they deserve.
The linchpin to it all, to filling those jobs, is a great education and great teachers. And so we can do this Because of our strong fiscal position, we are not just positioned in a strong place now, but for the future.
He says lawmakers all agree. Now it's about looking at the costs and finding an answer. Holcomb also says bringing in big-time companies like Amazon helps ensure a solid future.
Our welcome mat is out, the light has been left on, and Amazon, we've already, you know, we're knocking on about 10,000 Amazon employees right now throughout the state of Indiana.
Governor Holcomb did leave a message to not slow down, although excited to see an increase in population and GDP. He says Indiana is still growing a lot slower than other states.
WSBT 22's DJ Manu reporting. The owner of a former brewery site on South Bend's near northwest side says he hopes to persuade the city to hold off on demolishing remaining buildings. The South Bend Tribune reports that Steve Durkee of Phoenix, Arizona, has owned the site on Elwood Avenue for several years and has been the target of code enforcement efforts to get him to clean up the property. Durkee says he has a potential investor interested in redeveloping the property using remaining buildings, but the city says Durkee has not been responsive to demands he clean up the property. A February code enforcement hearing imposed $10,000 in fines against Durkee for willful neglect to go to with more than $50,000 in fines he's already accumulated. Neighborhood residents and council member Tim Scott, whose district includes the site, have said they're tired of looking at debris from buildings that Durkee has already demolished. Code enforcement had given him until December 21st of last year to remove the debris. Durkee claims a former code enforcement official led him to believe the debris could remain while he worked on redevelopment. Scott says he never heard of any such verbal agreement, and even if there were one, it is not binding on the city. Scott says Durkee has failed to do any kind of cleanup or improvement of the site for over 2 years and is responsible for any costs the city may incur if it cleans up the site on its own. This past Monday, one of the Democratic candidates for South Bend mayor picked up a major boost as current mayor Pete Buttigieg endorsed James Mueller to replace him. Mueller currently serves as executive director of community investment after also serving as chief of staff in the Buttigieg administration. He says he wants to build on the work he has done with the current mayor.
We've got a good team. And we're going to bring our message right out to the voters, knocking on doors, talking to them directly. And we believe we have the proven track record of results and a vision for the future.
Mueller faces seven other Democrats in the May 7th primary, including several other city officials. Only one Republican has filed for that race. Notre Dame football player Javon McKinley was arrested on campus Sunday by police. That's last Sunday, after they say he punched two of them as they tried to help him get to his dorm. They say he appeared intoxicated when they found him in an Uber car unconscious. Charges include misdemeanor counts of battery and illegal consumption of alcohol. McKinley has a court date February 28th. He appeared in 10 games over three seasons as a receiver for the Irish. He hails from Corona, California. Back on December 19th, outgoing Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly cast what he expected to be his last congressional vote to pass a $1.3 billion funding package he expected would avoid a federal government shutdown until at least February. The South Bend Tribune reports that before that vote, Donnelly had packed remnants of his office into a U-Haul truck and left Washington, D.C. for his home in Granger. He was at the Ohio-Indiana state line when he heard rumblings that President Trump had soured on the funding bill. The Tribune says Donnelly had just gotten home and made himself a sandwich when Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer called to say Trump was refusing to sign the bill. Donnelly had to catch a flight back to Washington for more votes as Congress tried to strike a deal with the White House. For Donnelly, who spent his 12 years in the House and Senate being pulled between his party and red state voters back home, the fight over the government shutdown was the latest example of increasing political dysfunction. Donnelly, who lost to Republican Mike Braun last November, says the president's change of mind told him that Trump was ceding decisions to right-wing talk hosts like Rush Limbaugh, going back on an agreement he had made with members of Congress. Donnelly reflected on his congressional career and the state of national politics in an interview with the Tribune during a welcome home open house in his honor at Fiddler's Hearth Pub in downtown South Bend. He named the success in helping pass the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare to its critics, as one of his proudest achievements during his 12 years in Congress, as well as seeing the U.S. economy rebound from the Great Recession. He also praised the Right to Try law signed by President Trump last year that gives terminally ill people greater access to experimental medicine and the Jacob Sexton Military Suicide Prevention Act. The former senator's balancing act on divisive issues such as abortion and immigration sometimes meant that he pleased neither the liberal factions of his base nor the more conservative Indiana voters he had to woo. Nonetheless, he said, he remains proud of his bipartisan record. He still likes to point out that the Lugar Center named him the fourth most bipartisan senator to have served since 1993. In the Tribune interview, Donnelly named hyperpartisanship as the biggest problem in Washington, while he said the best thing about the nation's capital was, quote, so many people there care so much, including, he says, staffers who would sometimes spend time at night and on weekends trying to coordinate services for homeless veterans back in Indiana. Within the last couple of weeks, the University of Notre Dame announced Donnelly would be teaching two courses this semester, one on political science and another at the Keough School of Global Affairs. Donnelly earned undergraduate and law degrees at Notre Dame. He would not specify any other possible plans other than to say he would like to find public service opportunities related to veterans focused on health care and homelessness. He did not say if any of that might send him back to Washington. On Sunday afternoon last week, while TV screens displayed photos of Donnelly walking in parades and locking arms with former President Barack Obama, the pub was packed with well-wishers, including the local Democratic Party chairman and many of the party's candidates for mayor of South Bend. In a brief speech, Donnelly recounted trips to Iraq to see American soldiers and town hall meetings with voters in the summer of 2009 leading up to the passage of Obama's health care law. He ended by saying, quote, and I am not running for mayor. The Army Corps of Engineers predicts that Lake Michigan will rise again this summer because of ample snow and rainfall and some icing over the winter that reduces evaporation. The South Bend Tribune reports the lake is expected to be 2 to 4 inches higher than last summer, a difference that won't be noticeable in most places. It does, though, make it easier on boaters and tougher on beaches and shoreline. The Corps says Lake Michigan is about 20 inches higher than its historic average after a 16-year stretch where lake levels dropped ended in 2013. Water levels began to rise again with the polar vortex winter of 2014 when 90% of the lake froze over. The Corps says Lake Michigan is about 55% frozen over right now. The record high for Lake Michigan was set in 1987. It's still a foot below that level right now. A veteran TV news presence in South Bend is retiring next month. Maureen McFadden has been with WNDU-TV, Channel 16, for over 40 years and has anchored the primetime newscast there with her brother Terry McFadden for decades. Tuesday afternoon, Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb stopped by the studios to present Maureen with a Sagamore of the Wabash Award, Indiana's highest civilian honor, for her decades of dedication to local journalism. On Wednesday, came word that McFadden will be inducted in April into the Associated Press of Indiana Hall of Fame. Maureen McFadden retires in March.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on the Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.